What a difference between last night and this morning in terms of weather. That gives you an idea of what it was like in Huna. We went to bed in beautiful sunshine and got up in pouring rain. And I suppose it's that time of the year up here for those kinds of things to happen. The Beatitudes, however, are our topic today, which describes what the Lord is able to do for us regardless of outward circumstances, regardless of what we might be experiencing on the outside, externally. Thank God the Lord can do a work within us. The key verse says, He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed. Amen. I'm thankful that that's God's agenda, is to bring blessings. And his teaching is such that it's not going to be a hardship. It's not going to be full of negatives. It's not going to be something that detracts. I'm thankful that the Lord adds to our lives great blessings and power that he makes known again and again. The focus thought on your lesson book or leaflet, if you whatever you have, the key to a blessed life is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now that seems to be somewhat of a negative setting. How can thirsting and hungering be a positive thing? Well, we know hungering and thirsting in the natural is going to be satisfied. Those are very strong drives within us. Fasting is hard. It's never easy. As we have that urge, get something to eat. It's a habit, and we are used to eating three times a day and snacking in between or whatever. And so to say I'm not going to eat for fasting purposes is a discipline. You really have to discipline yourself to do that. And so we recognize that that hungering and thirsting after the things of God, ends with this idea, you shall be filled. Thank God. It's not going to be something that goes unsatisfied or unfulfilled or incomplete. The Lord is going to bring the completion in our lives that he desires to provide for us. And so he goes on through the list. Blessed are the poor in spirit, verse 3 of Matthew 5. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we'll get into some of these aspects of it and understand what is being implied here by the Lord's teaching. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then 10 and 11 just go into an aspect that was very evident in the new church, perhaps not so evident at least in the North American church, but certainly in the Philippines, in the Far East, in Africa, there is persecution that is severe. We have not experienced it to a great degree here, although I remember hearing one of our elders, Brother J.T. Pugh, returning to an area in Louisiana where his blood and hair was left on a door jamb, where he was violently thrown down and beaten. And he could remember. He can remember being mistreated that way, getting abused that way for the message of truth, for the gospel. And fortunately, some of the family members who mistreated him in that way came to the Lord later on. But when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, the kingdom of heaven is yours, he said. When men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's hard to do on your own. And that's where the Spirit of God becomes such a vital part of our experience in the Lord, because He, as our comforter and as the Spirit of truth, will elevate us to where that rejoicing can be possible, and a recognition of the hand of God on our lives and His blessing for us. The cultural connection introduces an interesting thought. Can you be thirsty too much? Can you thirst beyond reason? And they give a medical condition here, polydipsia. Never heard of it. But that's the excessive thirst that can come to someone as a result of a medical condition. A spiritual condition to where there's excessive thirst is not going to be a negative thing. Again, because the Lord said, you shall be filled. And just as thirst causes an individual to act perhaps out of character, you're so thirsty, you're so intent on quenching that thirst that you may bump the line a little bit, or you're willing to pay a double price for a bottle of water or a soda pop or whatever it might be. Just in the same way, someone with a spiritual thirst can act out of character, in the sense of, I've got to have something from God. I've got to have a blessing from the Lord. And an enormous sense of spiritual thirst for righteousness is going to be a good thing in someone's life because, again, of the promise that the Lord said, you shall be filled. Classic virtues, these are spiritual virtues that we're going to talk about here. Classic virtues of honesty and hard work and so on bring someone to a successful life here. The Horatio Alger rags to riches type aspect where we read how they overcome and regardless of circumstances, they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and that sort of thing. Classic virtues do that. Spiritual virtues go beyond those as well, and because of the reward being eternal. Not just this life. Thank God the Lord blesses us in this life. But the apostle said, if in this life only we had hope in Christ, there would be misery. And what he's doing, he's not downgrading our experience. What he's doing is elevating the eternal values, the eternal aspects that we've got to keep our eye on. And it's not just this place. It's not just this experience. It's not just the here and now. But it's what God has in store for us as we continue to follow him and walk with him. Praise God. Now the Lord opened his mouth and taught them, and most scholars say that the Sermon on the Mount, as this is called, spanned several hours. And can you imagine, they're not sitting in upholstered pews, they're not in a nice building, where are they? They're on the mount. And they're sitting on rocks, on stumps, bushes may be obscuring him, and they're trying to move around so they could see. But for several hours, he held their attention as he went through all of these aspects. And probably there was some knitted brows and confused looks at how can you be blessed if you mourn? How can you be blessed if you're poor in spirit? And in the Greek, they would understand that this blessed are they, that is the there's an aspect of happiness that is being imparted in this situation. And again, they may wonder, how can that be? But the Lord, we know, is able to change circumstances and situations. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And we identify in what the scripture says in that area, and thank God we can be assured that it's going to work out here. Amen. Philippians 1 and 6, let's take a moment to look up that passage. James, if you've got your scriptures there, could you find Philippians 1 and 6 and stand and read it out real good and loud. This is, again, we keep our eye on the goal. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to feel like this is all there is. And thank God we can rejoice in what God has blessed us with here. But oh my, remember there's much more. All right, read please. 1:6, yes. Being confident. Amen. Confidence helps you to step forward. Confidence helps you to move on. And there is going to be completion. The scripture says you are complete in him. And that's our standing now. That's our experience now. But oh my, when that completion comes and he brings us into his presence forever. What rejoicing. Amen. What rejoicing. Praise God. One writer said, so many are concerned about the last 10 years of their life to the point that they're not thinking about the first 10,000 years of their afterlife. Well, on the one hand, you do have to plan. You do have to prepare. You do have to provide for your family. That's a biblical standard. But keep in mind, the first 10,000 years of your life in heaven. Praise God. Now, when we talk in huge numbers like that, it's perhaps hard for us to grasp. But that's the reality. Amen. 10,000 years, 100,000 years, a million years. Again, we're getting into the numbers that are hard to believe. But the Lord is going to do that work for us and bring us into his power. A very familiar scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is a very powerful, powerful verse. Let's look at the context. Let's look beginning at verse 11 of Philippians chapter 4. And see what the apostle is implying here, or not just implying, he's stating it. This is what I do. Now, or not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See, he's leading up to this, I can do all things. And he's helping the church at Philippi to understand, you don't need a whole lot. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He knows how to do without, and he knows how to handle a big blessing. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Quite the opposites there. But he's saying, I can do this, both to abound and to suffer need. Then he goes on and says, I can do all things. So, when you claim Philippians 4:13, always remember what the apostle is leading up to there and saying, whatever state you're in, whatever condition, whatever circumstance, the hand of the Lord can be there for you to bring you through every aspect and every situation because of his power and his blessing. Amen. And that's how he provides for us, because contentment can be unaffected by circumstance. That's why I remember Brother Crumpacker visiting with us in Ketchikan, and my wife asked about the loss of their grandchild, and what a heartbreaking thing, what a difficult situation there. Jim and Karen losing their little boy to spinal meningitis, I think it was. And Brother Krumpacker answered, you know, it was like, he said it was hard, there were tears, but he said it was like we were in a harbor and we could see the storm going by, the storm raging outside the harbor, but we were safe in the harbor. That's the hand of God. That's the peace that passes understanding. And thank God the Lord is able to do that for us. And basically what Brother Krumpacker was testifying is, blessed, just like the Lord said here, blessed. And would no doubt would fulfill many of those things and many of those aspects. Bernard, get for us 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Here's when we are a partaker of what God has for us. Now, we partake of needs, we partake of hurts, heartbreak, sickness, illness, disease. All of these things attack us because of sin. Not our sin, but sin in the original sense of people disobeying the Lord, and paradise was lost. But the Lord, through the story of redemption, is bringing us back into his presence with the promise of 1,000 years of peace here on this world and then forever with him in glory. But we have to be a partaker. All right, read. It didn't come through? Oh, it's still there. Okay, 2 Peter 1 and 4. Let me know when it comes up. There it is. All right, so a number of things in that verse, exceeding great and precious promises. Are you hearing promises in the media right about now? None of them exceeding great and precious. No matter who's making the promises in the political realm, none of them are exceeding great and precious. The Lord is the one who gives exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. And by these, then, you can be a partaker of the divine nature. Praise God. But there's something you have to do as well. You escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You move away from that into the presence of God, into the power of God, and then know God's blessing in a powerful way. So the Beatitudes, let's get to the Beatitudes. Verse 3, the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means humility. It means being humble before the Lord. And being humble before the Lord is part of repentance, because you're asking the Lord for forgiveness. You're recognizing you're not self-sufficient. You can't make it on your own. You can't achieve or attain the place that you need to be in God by your own goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Remember in Isaiah 57:15 is a beautiful verse that describes our God and him. He inhabits eternity. He's the high and lofty one. And he invites those who are humble and contrite to live with him. Praise God. And the humble and the contrite are revived. Moreover, that Isaiah 57:15 says you're revived when you're humble and contrite. Because again, you recognize, I can't make it without you, Lord. I need you more than anything. I need you. And we make every effort then to draw close to him, to please him, to obey him, to walk with him, to establish a strong relationship with him. And then he says, that's who I'm going to have with me. That's who I'm going to take along. Praise God. And that basically is what poor in spirit is based upon. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I'm thankful that he's close to those who are hurting. And the hurt is not physical. The hurt is not in the externals. The hurt is on the inside where nothing can touch it. But the Lord can. And thank God those who are poor in spirit can be blessed. Blessed are they that mourn in verse 4. Weeping really is a gift from God. Tears are a relief valve. My goodness, can you imagine how stressed out you would become if there couldn't be that release, if there couldn't be that relief of tears? The old song says, "He washed my eyes with tears that I might see." And thank God that we're able to weep and mourn as a blessing from the Lord. That may seem like a real contradiction, a paradox. How in the world can that be a blessing from the Lord? But it is. And we again recognize our inner poverty, our lack of what we need from Him, and we reach out to Him for it. And the Comforter comes to minister to us, and thank God, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. And the Lord brings that comfort, and He is the Comforter that we call upon and believe Him today for His blessings. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And someone sarcastically said, yeah, the meek will inherit the earth when the strong are done with it. Well, there's 1,000 years of peace coming up. Amen. And the Bible lets us know you're going to reign at that time. And the devil will be absent. That's why one contributing factor for why there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And the Lord will be here. What a great combination. The devil absent, the Lord present. Praise God. And we're going to be there. Praise God. And you can see where meekness would be a connection to mourning and poor in spirit. Because, again, they're all three saying you can't make it on your own. You need the help of the Lord. You need the blessing of the Lord. And thank God for the power that He provides for us. And now, the verse 6, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember how David said it? He compared his thirst for the Lord like a deer that pants after the water brook, travel a long distance. Now, here we don't have so much problem because we've got lakes every acre, it seems like. Where David was, in a semi-arid climate, streams and oases and so on were prized, and digging wells was a priority for the shepherds. So he knew as a shepherd how the sheep would thirst for water and how the wild animal would thirst for water. And so he's comparing that thirst of a deer for himself. As a heart panteth after the water brook, so does my heart pant after you. I'm thirsty for you, Lord. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I'm desiring you. And he recognized how that would change his life. You turn away from that which is not going to satisfy. That's the problem. The devil is always holding out options, always holding out substitutes to try to satisfy that thirst, and we know it doesn't. Just like Eve took a bite of that fruit, and the outcome was not what she thought. Not at all what she envisioned at first. And likewise with Adam, they went and hid themselves from the presence of God. Instead of being like God, instead of being blessed like the Lord, they hid. Instead of being refreshed in the presence of God, they disappeared. And the Lord reached out to them. Thank God that we can turn away from the things of the world that are not going to satisfy and turn to the things of God that will ensure your spiritual survival. No other way but to do the work of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll just look at one portion, 22, 23, and 24 of Ephesians 4. But that whole chapter, at least the latter portions of it, deal with the change that the Lord brings into our lives as a result of this hungering and thirsting. It starts out by saying, put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, after God ministers his touch, after his name is applied to you and the power of his spirit fills you, there's going to be a change that you enact and that you follow and that you fulfill. And you go through the actions then of putting off and putting on. That both of them are required. To put off without putting on is to open yourself to, well, the seven demons worse than the first coming in. Not that we're demon-possessed, but we know the influence of the devil and how he can overwhelm. Isaiah said, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Have you experienced that? Oh, my word. The devil will attack in that way. He comes in like a flood, and you're desperately trying to stop. Thank God the Spirit of the Lord will raise up. Oh, yes. That's why we need the power of his Spirit. That's why we cry out to him, poor in spirit and mourning and meekness. Oh, God, I need you. Amen. And thank the Lord. His power comes in a tremendous way. So I enact both. I put off and I put on. And thank God the Lord is there to provide and minister. And again, the promise is you shall be filled. You shall be satisfied. You shall be complete. And that blessing and that strength comes from the Lord. Remember how David said, my cup runneth over. The Lord knows how to make things overflow. And the fulfillment of his blessing in that regard is wonderful. And it's no wonder that the devil is going to do everything he can to turn your attention from righteousness to things that are unrighteous, the things that are carnal and worldly and fleshly. He's going to attempt every way to do that because he knows the promise of the Lord is you're going to be filled. And the devil wants you to be empty, or he wants you to be filled with his garbage and miss out on the blessings of the Lord. All right, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Extending mercy is the opposite of seeking revenge. Extending mercy. And perhaps that's why this one comes before blessed are you when men shall persecute you and speak vile things about you, because that sometimes is, boy, I'm going to pay you back. You know, I'm going to get even. I'm going to show you who's who and what's what. Being merciful, however, is going to release that. And because seeking revenge, how did somebody say it? Wanting to pay back and so on is like drinking poison. You drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. That doesn't work, does it? You're hurting yourself. And letting somebody else control you by anger and so on is not what God wants. That's why he's saying, blessed are you. Are you when you have these things taking place? And thank God for the mercy that he continues to extend to us so that we can know the blessings that are powerful and are real as far as what we've experienced. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. Thank God they are, because we operate on, you know, man's level, but he elevates us to his level and brings his mercy and his blessing to us. Remember the parable he told about the man who was forgiven an exorbitant amount, a huge amount. He said, he pleaded with the who he was in debt to and said, please forgive me, I'll pay. Oh, you don't owe me anything. Then that same man went to someone who owed him a small percentage of what he had just been forgiven, his debt wiped out. And he just went ballistic. He just went off and demanded payment and had the man thrown in jail and so on. And the original debtor found out about it. Well, I think that's a strong word picture for us to understand. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God help us to be merciful. Amen. Praise God. And to let the power of the Lord flow through us. Verse 8, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow, what a tremendous promise. Amen. And that pure in heart, again, is the measurement that God makes, because our measurement is going to be faulty. It's going to have areas, spaces that we overlook, and not be able to say, okay, I really need to improve in this area, but look at how good I'm doing here. And then just skip over it. No, the pure in heart, as far as God measures, are so important. And thank God he's the one who does that. When David said, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit, he was praying to the one in Psalm 51. He was praying to the one who could make that creation happen. His creative power. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise God. That's part of the put off and put on aspect, that we old things pass away. Let them pass away. Don't hold on to them with a death grip and, that's the way I used to live all the time. No, let that go. And let the power of the Lord bring his goodness and his blessing. All things become new. Praise God. And I know you can look back on how you stumbled along in fulfilling that command, but praise God, look where you are now. And look how the blessings of God have been multiplied in your life. As you let old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, because you're a new creature, a new creation. He created you in that spiritual sense to bring us into tremendous blessing that he has for us. Praise God. So what a tremendous blessing that the Lord would give. Verse 9, being a peacemaker and be called the children of God. A peacemaker, how does that go? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Boy, you want to give him a piece of your mind. You give him a piece of your mind, you have less than you started out with, so don't do that. So a soft answer, however. It didn't say don't answer. You can answer. But a soft answer. And and thank God we have answers. So many dilemmas in this world that there are no answers. I'm thankful we have an answer and know the blessing and the power of the Lord to bring forth the direction that God has for us. Hebrews 12 and 14 is a verse of scripture that we people who believe in the righteousness and holiness and godliness that the Lord wants us to walk in today is very important. But sometimes there may be an emphasis on holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. When in reality it says, follow peace with all men first, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Elder Brother Treese, with his understanding of Greek, would bring forth several interesting concepts as far as this aspect of holiness. But he'd end it by saying, whatever holiness is, you better get it, because you're not going to see God without it. And that's why we have pastors, to be able to give us direction in that area. But the peacemakers, the pure in heart, all of these aspects are so important to be able to walk with the Lord and to be uplifted in Him. Praise God. Now, the persecution part is not a fun part at all. However, in the book of Acts, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And it wasn't just that they were called idiots or uneducated and so on. Remember that passage there? I think it's Acts 4 and 13. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They're ignorant and unlearned is how they phrased it. But they walked with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. And there's no denying that. Praise God. And the same thing applies today. People may think that you're not up to their level and standard and so on, but they can't deny there's something different about you because you've been with Jesus. And Jesus abides within you, and you could be strengthened in His name. But the persecution that came included going to prison, included being flogged, Stephen being stoned, James being killed with a sword, and it was severe. It was costly, and Peter was in prison, and probably he was next to go under the sword. But the church prayed, Acts chapter 12. The church prayed without ceasing, and here he comes knocking on the door, and Rhoda says it's Peter, and they say it's his spirit, and a lot of faith there. Just like us. But oh my, the hand of the Lord can bring deliverance. But there were some who didn't accept deliverance, like Hebrews 11 says, and they obtained a better resurrection. And we're experiencing things today. I think Brother Mike was saying that he heard chaplains are not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus anymore. What? That's pretty ridiculous. But that's the political climate that we are stepping into here in our time, in our day. That a Christian business can be targeted and be fined to the extent where they are no longer in business. But you can be refused service because of your Christian stand. It just is becoming topsy-turvy and lopsided in terms of our Christian faith and the perceptions that are there. Now, that doesn't mean I take a martyr complex and say, poor me, and shrivel up and go into a corner. No, the apostle stood before King Agrippa and said, this thing was not done in a corner. I know you know. and that was a prophecy that Ananias heard the Lord say, I've called him, talking about Saul of Tarsus, I've called him, he's going to stand before kings. So here he is, years later. And the king mocks him by saying, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. He was being sarcastic. That you think you can talk me into being a Christian or just this? Oh, the apostle said, I would you were like me, except these chains. And so thank God it was not something that was hidden and not something that was undone. In fact, the apostle was on his way to Caesar. And it's probably a result of his evangelism that there were those of Caesar's household who believed. Praise God. So we don't back up. We don't feel like we're under the gun, being persecuted, and we need to keep silent. No. You need to vote. You need to step into the marketplace. Your witness needs to be heard. Your life example needs to be demonstrated. Praise God. Say again. Exactly. It's got to be outside the four walls. And the demonstration. Thank God that there can be a change that the Lord makes in our lives that is evident. Praise God. It's not enough to be on fire for God here in the service and then be cold as a cucumber outside, however cold a cucumber is. Ice cube, that's better. No, be on fire for God. Amen. And being on fire for the Lord is going to demonstrate to people more and more how the Lord's blessing comes. The Lord's blessing is there. Because to be an example of God's blessing, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is that exists in our lives, thank God that the Lord lets us know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that strength that he imparts is not just a wave of a wand and there you are, you're blessed. No, it's an outcome, an outgrowth of a strong relationship with the Lord, anchored in his word, continuing to obey him, and building that relationship with the Lord. Thank God that that's what is possible as we serve the Lord. It'd be easy to just say, well, I'm just going to be every now and then Christian, every now and then walking with God, calling on him. No, that's living far short of the blessings of the Lord. That scripture that James read, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God, that's the promise that we hold on to. And the Bible says, be confident. Amen. Be confident of that. There are those today who are trying to sound confident and trying to appear as though they have the answers to today's dilemmas. And they're trying to put their message across. Thank God we have one who is greater and able to minister to us. Let's represent him to this world. Praise God in the way that he would provide and the blessings that he would give. He's a great God, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. A number of needs that were shared here earlier that we need to bring to your attention.